Well, hello again. We're looking at the serving church today in our series about the living church from Acts 2, 42 to 47. We're going to look at a section from Mark specifically, but the general kind of idea comes from Acts 2. We read there that the church, the people, as they became Christians, they met together a lot and they sold possessions and gave to others what they had. So it's picking up that idea of serving other people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus came to serve. And thank you that he gave us the command to be a serving church. So we ask now for St. John's and for the churches of those who are watching today. Father, we pray that you would bring each of these churches to be a serving church and us as individuals to be members who serve. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have served us by giving your life to set us free. Amen. So I want to take you to Mark chapter 10, and we're going to look at the section from verses 35 to 45. So Mark 10, 35 to 45. It's a simple story in a way, but I want us to just grasp what Jesus is doing and saying here. We'll start at the beginning. Jesus and his followers are on the way to Jerusalem. Jesus has said he's going to die there, and it says in Mark 10, verse 32, they're on the way to Jerusalem and they're astonished. Some of them are afraid. What's going to happen? Jesus seems to have a death wish. And for the third time, Jesus says, this is from verse 33, "We're going to Jerusalem, I'll be killed, tortured, killed," all that kind of stuff. And then he finishes off by saying, "And 3 days later, I will rise." Now, just imagine Jesus and his disciples on the road going towards Jerusalem. The disciples with him, probably lots of others hanging around too, but the disciples with him. And then you just notice a couple of them, James and John, they get their heads together as they walk along and they're having a little kind of confab together. They're just kind of trying to talk something through. And then you notice they kind of, sidle up to Jesus, the two of them together, and they pull Jesus maybe a little to the side to have a little private conversation. And we have this conversation here. Verse 35 of Mark 10, James and John came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want to do for you what we want you to do for us, whatever we ask." Jesus then says, you can imagine kind of the doubt becoming in his head. "Well, what do you want me to do for you?" He doesn't make a promise quite yet. And they said, "Well, you talked of coming, rising again. Well, when you come into your glory, when you come into your kingdom, you've known us too, James and John, for a while. You've seen how we work. You know that we're reliable, we're trustworthy, we're with you all the way. Wouldn't it be good if I was on your right and James on your left? You're just supporting your right hand and left hand men, as it were. Could you do that for us?" Now, I'm just going to pause here a minute. At the moment, the government are jockeying for position to see who will take over from Boris, and then after that, presumably there'll be quite a lot of toing and froing, see who comes right and left of the Prime Minister and around the table in the cabinet and so on. It's exactly what James and John are doing here. They reckon Jesus will be the one in charge, and they want to be sure of their position. Now let's go back to verse 38. Jesus basically says, "You don't know what you're asking. Can you," and he effectively says, "can you suffer with me?" And you can imagine them walking along the road, and there, James and John, tripping along quite nicely, quite excited about this great possibility in front of them. They say, "Oh yeah, we can do that. We'll follow you all the way. We can do whatever it takes." Jesus then says, "Well, you will indeed follow me." You will effectively saying being baptized and so on, you'd taking the cup and being baptized with baptism, he's basically saying, "You will suffer with me, you will die with me." That's true. But then he says, verse 40, "It's not up to me to present those places to people who ask for them." Now, I don't know how James and John reacted to that. Probably a bit cross, maybe a bit annoyed, maybe a bit kind of bewildered. Has he got someone else in mind? But when you look at them carrying on, walking along, and the other disciples must have realized what's going on. They must have tweaked what James and John are doing. And you can see James and John beginning a bit defensive with the other disciples around them. And you see there's actually a bit of trouble brewing. They're against each other. And it doesn't say this in the text, but I think what's going on here is, I think maybe Peter and the others are thinking, why didn't I think of that? What James and John have just done, why didn't I think of that first? Why didn't I go up to Jesus first and say, look, Jesus, do you need a chancellor? What about me? I think they're all a bit jealous that that James and John got a step ahead of them. But now Jesus kind of basically pulls them apart and says, look, we've got to talk about this. So they sit down, and Jesus basically kind of tells them what's what. Verse 42, he says, you know that the Gentiles, the foreigners, those people who rule over us, that the Romans and Herod and so on, they lord it over each other. They climb over each other to get to the top positions. That's not what it's got to be like with you, with us. That's not how you operate. Instead, verse 43, whoever wants to become great, and he probably says to them, look, do you want to become great? Do you want to do something significant? Do you want to do something worthwhile? Do you want to make a difference? And they're probably all going to say, well, of course we do. That's why we're here. That's why we're with you. And Jesus then says, well, if you want to be like that, you've got to be a servant. Whoever, 44, wants to be first must be a slave of all. Not sure what reaction that they have to that, but maybe Jesus lets them think about that for a while, and then he says, let me give you an example. Look at me, he says. And they're probably thinking, oh, miracles, that calming of the storm, unbelievable. The healings, whoever needs healed, Jesus, you just do it without a thought, without a blinking an eyelid. It just all happens. Jesus then said, well, look, I've not come for people to admire me, to think well of me, to look at me and say, what a great man. I've not come to be served. I've come to serve and to give my life. To give my life as a ransom, to give my life to set free many people. Now, at one level, you could think, well, that's a noble task. That's a heroic thing to do. And we all admire people who go out there and drive forward and make some sacrifice. But when you watch what happens here, and watching even up to this point, what you're watching is a man who has all the talents anyone could ever want, all the gifts, the ability, the everything that you would crave, and it's all unraveling, it's all going wrong. This is not a heroic death. This is a mess. Jesus is not being seen to be the hero in charge. Jesus is seen to be the one who makes mistakes, who gets it wrong, who gets overtaken, who falls into the trap. They're going to mock him. They're going to laugh at him. The disciples are going to be scared and run away. They're going to not know what's happening. This is not a noble death or a heroic death. This is a disaster. You're looking on it from the outside. Jesus is not dying as a great hero. He's dying as a pathetic, misled, weak man. And that's what he's saying here. If you want to be with me, if you want to be great, be significant, you've got to follow in those footsteps, my footsteps. You've got to serve. Not look for the opportunity to be seen serving. Not look for the way that you can do the significant thing so everybody sees it. You've just got to serve. Now, I think when Jesus uses himself as his example, they'll feel that deeply as the steps go on to Jerusalem, and they'll reflect on it deeply afterwards when they realize, well, I ran away. I didn't stick with them. I didn't think this was the right way forward. I thought he got it wrong. Now, what about you? What about how the church works? Your church, if it's not St. John's or St. John's, how does it work? How do the people belong to the church? How do we work together? Do you want to, do you aspire to be maybe a Bible study group leader or a, read the service on Sunday or preach or lead or something like that? I want to then just put the question, why a few months ago, a good few months ago, a year ago probably, when we were asking for someone to clean the church, we got nobody. I mean, we asked for a fair number of weeks and we described the job and so on, and nobody came forward. In the end, we had to employ somebody to do it. And cleaning the church hall, it's the people who are in their 70s, 80s and 90s who've been doing it in the last few years. Are we looking to serve? Or are we in the church to find our place, to find ourselves at home, to be able to enjoy the fellowship, to get something from it? Jesus here is very clearly saying, if you want to make a difference, get your head down, just get stuck in, follow me into the path of being a nobody, having nothing, losing respect, losing dignity. That's the kind of service that Jesus is looking for in the church. So the danger is, I think, that we, in wanting to do something worthwhile, we aim high or reasonably high. I mean, we're not arrogant to think we can beat top dog. But actually, to serve in the church, we should be aiming low. I can imagine Jesus, when he said this, he's saying, look, Bartholomew there has been limping for a while. That bad foot he's got, that needs dressed again, doesn't it? Or maybe he's saying, you know, we're going to get to, you know, maybe this town that we can see down the valley, you know, in the next couple of hours. We really need someone to run ahead. You sweat a bit, run ahead and get things ready for us. All these bags. I noticed that some people weren't working at picking out the lighter bags before we set off again. That's the service that Jesus is drawing us towards. Not the look at me service, or not even the I'm doing something worthwhile. Rather, it's the service that isn't, maybe doesn't seem important, but it's simply putting someone else before myself. Saying in my head, there's no need for them to do that, I'll do it. There's no need for them to take on that burden, let me do it. There's no need for that person to feel they have to take that on. I can do that. You see what I'm saying? Hopefully this makes sense. If we're going to be a serving church, then each of us should be looking to say, where is there a need? Not a need that I'm good at, simply where is there a need? A tiny need, a small need, an insignificant need. I mean, when you make a list, and this is why I've been reluctant to do this in church, when you make a list of all the jobs that people are doing, there's many, many jobs, and many, many, many of you are doing lots of jobs. But some of them are jobs that maybe I'm not even aware they're happening, where someone is serving so faithfully and quietly that I and maybe almost nobody else is aware of it. People, I find out, do things behind the scenes, things that actually take a time and a bit of effort that I just thought happened automatically. And then I realise actually someone has had to work at that, learn that skill, and no one has perhaps ever noticed they've done it, never mind said thank you, appreciated what's been done. But serving church is when we listen to these words of Jesus and step not up, but maybe step down to see what's needed and offer ourselves for that with no view of this is a step to something else. We simply serve. Let me pray. Father, thank you that Jesus was so keen in putting other people before himself, his whole mission, his whole purpose in coming to earth was to get down on his knees and do the work that was needed to bring people to safety. Lord, we thank you for his example of service, a service that saved us in a way nothing we could do ever will. But Father, we thank you that he used that as an example of service. And may we heed what he calls us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.